Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and I am so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. I'm aware that time is precious, and I am truly very grateful. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a background as to where this podcast was born. It was born from my company, I Am Creative, and the mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and to empower people, especially adults, to recognize their talents that come in so many different forms. So here in this space, I get to talk to so many incredible people that have jobs, hobbies, interests that have varied from holistic marketer, hormone biohacker, lawyer, actress, doctor, and so many more people that I've spoken to. And the conversation is structured around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So my inspiring guest for today is Jeremy Lassman. Jeremy is a quantum leader and inventor of imagination technology, and he is a former SpaceX technologist and graduate of Chapman University School of Business with an emphasis in entrepreneurship. After SpaceX, Jeremy took a visionary concept and created the groundbreaking comic franchise Mania, where he most notably spoke on a panel at Comic-Con in San Diego about mental health and comics. He is the host of the Conscious Leadership Network and president of the Universal Imagination Alliance, which is a galactic movement on a mission to reveal the superpower of humanity. Whoo! Hi, Jeremy, you here?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yay, I can.
Awesome.
Yeah, so welcome to the space. I'm so happy to have you here.
It is delightful to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you so for accepting. So reading your bio, I have to say, there's a lot of big stuff in there. there's like all of these really cool words. So before we get into all of our questions, first of all, I wanted to say hello to our guests who are live with us. Thank you so much for being here. And any questions or comments, just put them in the chat box below, and we're more than happy to answer any questions and all that good stuff. So when going back to the beginning of your bio, can you please tell a little bit more about what imagination technology is?
Well, imagination technology is how I share my research and development into superpowers. And I go back to the longing that I had kind of, if I were to go back and give my child, like inner child, my 8-year-old self that who was dealing with so much from my parents' divorce and then living this life that was so anxious and chaotic for myself. And if I were to go back and give him a manual for how to use the imagination so that the mind doesn't use him, that was like the inspiration for imagination technology.
Oh, okay. I love it. So it's this inner child work of, as an adult going back and healing that. And yeah, very cool. Okay. Okay, and one more question before is, I love this. I know we're going to get into it probably in the second question, but when you spoke at Comic-Con about mental health and comics, can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it was one of my first kind of entrepreneurial endeavors. I had a concept that I didn't know exactly how to share it, but it came from my own, I guess, first kind of experiences of transforming myself and transforming these things that I felt were like hindrances to me being even able to like step into the spotlight and do an interview like this, like that sort of resistances. And I was starting to feel that experience of turning a negative into a positive, and I wanted to share something, and I didn't know how, because I didn't figure myself to be a creative. And I love how it's going to, you know, connect to what we're going to talk about on the podcast here. But yeah. It was me wanting to share a message, but I didn't know how to do it. It was like, I wanted it like to do it through entertainment, but I didn't know how. And so Mania was born as the way that came into form. And we decided on a comic book, and none of us had ever made a comic book before. And we created this franchise. And then eventually I got to speak at Comic-Con, because the mission behind it is mental health empowerment.
So this is great. So, I mean, you just had this idea and you were like, we've never done it before, but let's do it.
It was a huge leap. Yes, it was a big step in my life, because up until that point, I was more of a dreamer and never kind of took action on my ideas, mm-hmm. and that kind of procrastination, you know, not finishing things, like all that stuff. And so it was a huge pivotal moment for sure.
Love it. Okay. Okay, so we're going to do a would you rather question first, and then we're going to dive into the first of three questions. So, Jeremy, would you rather spend the day at an amusement park or lazing around on the beach?
I would have to say amusement park.
Yeah, okay. Is there an amusement park
Say, what was that again?
Is there an amusement park of choice?
That's like kind of Six Flags. Six Flags is amazing.
We used to live in Valencia.
Okay.
That's the one right near there, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I never went. So you know what my answer would be, but yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay, great. So first question is, how do you define creativity?
To me, creativity are human superpowers. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting the story that comes up around like what is creativity, because as I mentioned earlier, like I was a dreamer growing up, but I never considered that to be creative. And so when I felt like that, like I'm not creative, I'm not imaginative, like I didn't put those things together. And so because I was so logical in how I was approaching it, one of the, like when I decided to finally, you know, develop myself and make that decision in my life to grow, but one of the first books I read was Creative Thinking, which was basically like, what is creativity? So because I wanted to learn the right way to do it.
Because you're logical. So what's the right way to be creative?
Yes, exactly. I mean, but that was how I like had to take those baby steps. And so here today, like I see it, it's this total opposite of logic. It is the irrational. It is the outside the box, the innovation. Creativity to me is the invention that comes from a self-awareness. It's the ability to become more of a creator of life instead of a victim to life. And it allows you to, like, instead of force things, creativity allows you to flow with things. Like that to me, because it's very connected to passion for me.
Wow. Those are some really deep answers. Yeah, because I love that
I'm
beginning.
a, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I'm a deep guy. I'm a Pisces dreamer.
Yeah, I mean, how old were you when you decided to dive into this, to like start the business?
Yes, my I would say it was after I graduated college, and I realized just how much I was living to please other people, and just going to college just to kind of appease my parents kind of thing. I really didn't have my heart in it, and I just took that beat after college to be like, wait a minute. And that found my way into a therapist office, and then that kind of ignited the that search.
Yeah, I think you brought up so many really important points and that are so common. Like, I love how you said creativity are human superpowers. You were a dreamer. You never considered yourself creative, not imaginative. You're very logical. And this is so often, you know, what I see and what I do is this, is that, you know, there's that formal definition that being a creative person is being a painter. You paint or you draw or you sculpt or, you know, something like that. And those are the traditional, those are the traditional definitions. But it's the formal definition of creativity is the formation of an idea or an object. Like
Or like
that's
the combination of two things to create
yeah.
that.
I mean, that's the definition. You look it up in the dictionary and that's what it
That's
says.
what the
Formation of an idea or an object. And it's
Yeah.
like we do that as human beings all the time.
Exactly.
But we restrict ourselves. We restrict ourselves because of this overthinking, because of this putting everything inside the box.
Exactly. Yes.
So like when you said things like invention comes from self-awareness. Creator of life instead of victim. That is amazing.
Yeah, and like personally from my story, it's the overthinking, but it's also the negativity, or like the skepticism, or just all the to me, it's just the that neurotic mind. Really, you don't see it as creativity, but it is creativity.
I think you're actually, yeah, in saying that, it's like you have to have one, you can't just have like butterflies and rainbows of like, oh, da 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 da. I mean, you have to have the contrast. You have to have this other stuff, I think, in order to be able to recognize. You have to go through the mess in order to get to, you know, what you're creating or, you know, and a lot of times it's not a straight line. It's that whole zigzagging, ping-ponging that you have to do in order to get to the other side of it and figure, oh, maybe that's what it was. It wasn't what I originally thought, but that's what it's supposed to be.
And the my language for that would be, you got to get through the information to get to the imagination.
Ooh,
And that's, yes, from information technology to imagination technology.
Yeah, I'm like laughing to myself because I can hear my husband saying, because I start thinking it, well, I'm thinking like all the time, but especially at night, you know, you're starting to kind of settle down. But for me, that's when my brain would start to rev up. And then he'd be sound asleep because he wakes up at like 3 in the morning. And I get into bed at like 11 and I'm like, Arthur, I've been thinking. And he's like, oh, crap. You've been so good. What's going to be the word that follows that? I've been thinking. For better or for worse. So, with the creation of your company of now, which is called, I don't want to mess up, the conscious. Tell me what it's called again.
The Conscious Leadership Network. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know we're going to go before we get into the second question, like bringing this into the whole creative realm, like tell us about this space, because I just joined it. And I have to say, like, I'm going to put in my bio and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's very easy to navigate. And there's a lot of really cool information.
Yes. Yeah. It's early phases. We're growing this network of people who want more kind of conscious conversations. And we know all of the kind of restrictions on Facebook and all the drama there. And so our initial inspiration was more of a clean space to collaborate and to connect and share that wavelength of being conscious leaders. The conversations, connections that arise from that.
Mm-hmm. So in your creative mind, like, tell me how it works for you. Is it like informing this? I'm sure it was a lot of things that kind of, you know, scaffolded that, you know, worked its way up to this, because you went through other things in order to birth this. But
yes.
do you get like these like little downloads, or are they kind of like, bam, does it hit you hard? Or how does it work for you generally?
Ooh. I mean, I would say a little bit of everything. I mean, I don't see it as one way. I sometimes get sledgehammered with downloads, and sometimes it's more about the, like, the flow kind of thing. That's a good question. Yeah, maybe the way I would put it is different sides of the giving and the receiving of the download. So sometimes it's getting a download and it's like that, like coming like that. But then sometimes it's like you're actually like at the head of it, and you haven't like fully, it's not fully formed as a download behind you, but it's like you're doing it. Is that, I don't know if that, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 It actually does. Yeah. Yeah. Cause for me, I can say it's kind of like, some of the things like you're saying, they come really quickly and it's like very clear. It's like, it just kind of like literally comes through the crown and it's like, whew. Okay. Yep. Got it. Done. And then other things are kind of like taking from past experiences and building on it and just being like, oh, yeah, I didn't like how that went necessarily, but I like the idea of it. And I'm not sure what it looks like, but it's there and I'm shaping it. I'm kind of sculpting it and I'm shaping it, which is where then comes in my 11 o'clock Arthur, I've been thinking kind of thing. Like, I'm thinking that it could be this or it could be that, but I'm not sure. And then there's a bunch of mess ups that happened and then I find it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh man, you painted a great picture there.
it's this whole, it's like going back to like when you said like the awareness, it's like when you're not aware, so many people, and it's nobody's fault. It's such a societal thing. There's the safety, there's the paradigms, there's all those things that people fall into of, you know, why people do what they do. And parents are saying certain things based off of what their parents did and experiences and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people stay in that safety kind of zone. And that's where, like, I really like what you said, where instead of being the victim, because we kind of victimize ourselves, like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And this is what, you know, I went to school for it. So what, am I going to leave it now and like go off onto this other tangent when I just spent all this money on, which, yeah, it sounds very logical. But when you're so unhappy and you're depriving yourself of even those little bits of something that you enjoy, like what good is that doing?
So yes. Yeah. The way I put it as a, like passion. It's the difference between comfort zone and zone of genius.
Comfort zone and zone of genius. So that zone of genius being that space where you really like thrive, where it's your thing. And that comfort zone where you're just hanging out there because even though it might not feel good or it might feel good, you're just going to stay there and not grow.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because in all this, it's not like, well, everybody go out and quit your job because you need to go out and live your passion. And I mean, everybody has their different comfort zones, which there's nothing wrong to me about a certain kind of comfort zone. But you need to push yourself out of that in order to, it's like that combination of that zone of genius, I guess, maybe in talking with that comfort zone. Because if you stay in that space, I was in the classroom. I've taught for 30 years, art, and in many different, with kids, adults, public school systems, private shelters, teachers, kids, just with everybody. And I'm very grateful for every experience I've had because it's led me to this point. But in the classroom, I got to a point, for me, it was so funny because I never liked school. Mm-hmm. Never liked it as a kid. So I would always laugh. I'd be like, why am I here? Like, why am I putting myself back in this situation when I never liked it as a kid? So part of me was kind of like, I think I want to be able to make a better circumstance for people who are going through what I went through and make it more positive. Like there was kind of like that within it. But I got to a point where I was like, I got to get out of my comfort. Like I can't anymore.
Right.
I got to grow to the next level.
Right. Exactly. It's like when you reach the edge of the negativity of just the negativity.
Yeah. Yeah. So with this new project that you have, how new is this baby?
Almost a year now, I believe. I would have to, I forgot.
So generally a year old.
Maybe about a year old.
Yeah. Do you have a company? Is there like an overarching company? I probably read it in your bio, but is it an overarching company name with all these different fraction, you know, segments to it? Or are these all different things?
They're different things, different collaborations I have, and involvements. And then I would say the overarching is a movement of sorts. And that's what we're calling the Universal Imagination Alliance. And that's kind of everything for me on the imagination technology and revealing the superpowers of humanity.
Got it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's move on to the second question, which is, we talked about it somewhat, but how do you incorporate creativity into your own life? So it could be in work, it could be in what you do for fun, all that kind of stuff.
Ooh, this is a great question. Because, like, I mean, the first thing that comes up is business. As the expression of it, the vehicle for it, and the application of it. But then when I go deeper, of course, where I'm like, if we're really talking about creativity, it is the way my passion is expressed, and I express passion, and the research and the experimentation I do is my creativity at play, I feel. And so when it's really at that level of that power, I guess, the superpower. It goes into everything because it is the flow. It is the flow of how I interact with my life and going all the way to like the reality level, and the mastery, self-mastery, I guess is the best way to put it. That's creativity, to answer the question, because, you know, from a more spiritual place, the presence, the stillness, the peace, there's that, but then there's also how we play, in this together, the collaborative element. And that to me, that's where the creativity comes alive. It is where we have, the reality, the life, but then there's also the entertainment and the show and I guess the more philosophical, like we're here playing these roles, I guess. And so the creativity is how we be, how we're expressing our being in all these different colors and spectrums and like you said, contrasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is going on such a deep level. I totally love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's just, I mean, that whole, in my head, I don't know if it makes sense, but I was thinking of like this whole time space continuum of like this merging.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about self-mastery and the interaction of life and roles and all of this, but more so, I guess more so it came to mind when we were talking, when you were talking about being in the flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, because when you are in the flow, you totally lose sense of time. You're just happy of being in that space. It's not like this is my job. This is my, like none of that. There's aren't those defining roles.
Yes.
Because you're just in it.
Yes. Yes. And I've had so much joy, growth, everything, like just the energy of that, like in the study of the flow state and the art and the craft of it. If that, you know, that's how I look at it. It's craft because it's connected to mastery. It's connected to your creativity and the way people use their tools, our tools, to create stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the basis of, it's like what I say with my company, it's creativity comes in all these different forms. So as you're saying, it's like, it's your tools. So it's your tools from your toolbox. And you can go get new tools and build something else. But when you're talking about something, a lot of times I tell the story of a friend of mine who is this amazing teacher. She is like the second grade teacher that's just like, you would want your kid in her classroom because she's so out of the box. They're hands-on. They're doing so much like real, like hands-on learning. So kids weren't getting math. So they weren't getting understanding subtraction. So she took them out, took them onto the slide. And every time they went down the slide, she had them say, take it away, take it away. So they were feeling it. So it was a kinesthetic thing. So when they went back into the classroom, they got it. It's like they understood that subtraction was taking away. But as she kind of searched for her own creative outlets by doing a lot of visual art things, and she liked them, but then when she realized that teaching was her superpower, was her tool, then she was like, oh my God, like a weight was lifted off of her shoulders.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's like, so when actually you put it in the terms of yours, when she found her superpower, she was like, Okay, now I can do these other things and enjoy them, but it's not like the pressure of having to find, well, what is it that I'm good at? When so often we're utilizing a lot of the skills that we're good at, but maybe not to their fullest potential.
Yes. Yeah. And to kind of like, I guess, translate that into the high achiever language, right? It's the pushing to the edge. And like the high achievers like understand like that pushing to the edge and like going after the great, like their like greatness and all of those things, right? And that's where it's not like the comfort zone and the zone of genius are separate or distant from each other. It's like the more and more precise you get to yourself, the more in your zone of genius you are. And so that's where the hotness is. And that's why passion is such a thing for me, because that to me is like getting closer and closer to that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Risk.
Mm-hmm. So would you use words like, I don't know if it would actually be, but I'm just saying, would it be like your higher self or mm-hmm. your innate self?
Yes. Yeah. And within imagination technology, I use the quantum self theory to kind of represent that limitlessness within the mastery is that limitless self.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Yes. I've listened to a few of his things. Not at the top of my list, but yes, I definitely love his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started listening to him more intense, and yeah, I like the way he puts things in simplistic form. In understanding that whole quantum mechanics and all of that.
Yes.
When you were talking about research, you talked about,
yes.
So what does that look like for you? Is this research like in your own study of something, or is it research in actually working with other people in that whole collaboration?
Yes, the latter, with other people, groups, individuals, businesses, and it's funny because the journey for me was really, I love the area of experimentation, the research into the innovative, the cutting edge. That to me lights me up. And when I was first getting things going and still doubting myself, the idea of experimentation from, I felt that societal view being like, it's not good enough yet. You're still, it's still being developed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been that journey to arrive at the confidence that no, experimentation to me is just because I'm always doing something new and innovative. Mm-hmm. It's like that cutting edge thing for me is like, that's where the freshness is. So that's where I love to play. And I used to feel like that meant like what I was doing wasn't like ready. It wasn't ready. Like there's, like, you know what that, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like that art, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, like that artistic, or no, I would say that in my perfectionism, that's the best way to put it, where it's like, no, it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. Like still holding it back because it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And so, yeah, to answer your question, it's the way that I research, develop, and execute different products and services mm-hmm. with imagination technology.
So when you went, did you do for school, did you do all 4 years in entrepreneurship?
No, I did 2 years at a community college and then transferred to Chapman University for the business degree.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it an entrepreneurship emphasis.
Okay. Did you enjoy it at all? Did you feel like you you got some tools there, or do you feel like that was just like what you just did?
A little bit of both, to be quite honest. Like, I'm sure things soaked in, but until, you know, I started to like actually have more awakening in myself, it was like I wasn't really present. I was always distracted, or, you know, not fully engaged. But I was there. I did okay.
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because I mean, just in hearing the way you were talking about yourself when you were younger and then where you are now, I mean, there's been so much growth, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes. I was my primary test subject. You know, I took the scalpel to my own mind, as it were. So I am definitely a role model of my work, or super role model.
Yeah. I mean, I totally, when you said that it's like playing on the cutting edge.
Yes.
I love those words together. Because you're always, you are always kind of forming something new, and you're always, it's playful. Some might see it as scary.
Mm-hmm.
And not want to go there because there's a lot of unknowns,
mm-hmm.
potentially, you know, because it's new. So, but when you can see it as playful, because I can totally relate to that in the stage that I am in my life and in the progress, like I'm totally different than what I was when I was younger.
Yes.
But because there was a lot of shyness and like a lot of things of what you said of, a lot of things that it was holding me back, not the confidence. But yeah, I love that, playing in the cutting edge.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And the whole perfectionism thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a killer, isn't it? The whole perfectionism thing.
Oh yes. But also on the flip side, it is a superpower.
Yeah, no,
it,
you're right.
Like within the muscles and the mechanics and the use of focus and attention and precision, like it is a superpower once it's not negative.
Yeah. No, it's not that, you're exactly right. It's that double-edged sword, and mm-hmm. having that contrast there.
Mm-hmm,
you have to have both aspects of it. Yeah, it's true.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because it's kind of like, I don't know if this has to do with it, but it's almost like, I think of like this political correctness where everything's okay. Like, okay, just let it be. Yeah. We don't want to say anything to like hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. But then when you have this kind of perfection, you want to get it to be a certain point to, you know, look good in your eyes in order to serve the purpose that it needed to do. And if it's not doing that, then it's not doing the right thing.
Right. Exactly.
So, making me think a lot, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. empowering that imagination.
Definitely empowering the imagination. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I mean, what do you think nowadays? Do you think that imagination is, how do you think it's being utilized now? What would be your perception on that?
Ooh, wow. So there's two angles that come up. One is hardly at all, because everyone's focused on the mind. That would be the kind of the quickest answer. But then the other, you know, holistic looking at the imagination, you know, and the mind kind of together, theatrically, it's entertainment. It is for entertainment. But in a self-conscious, more lower frequency sense. And so limited, in a limited way.
Okay. So you think at the point that we're at now that imagination is not being used more so to its fullest potential, that it's more limited?
Right, right. So in the technology metaphor, if we look at it, if you can't tell, I'm a big picture guy. So if you look at it from evolution, like a species level thing, the old operating system is survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. And it's inherently fear-based. And think about that like an old, you know, Pentium 4 computer. That's like the hardware and software that we're running on in the old paradigm. And that's the limitation. That's the binary. That's the, you know, slow performance, bad efficiency, yada, 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 of like imagining using a Pentium 4 right now. Slow. And the empowered imagination represents an upgrade in the operating system level. It's because if we're still running on survival of the fittest, we're not going to be able to crash through performance barriers. We have to completely go to a new technology. And so that, like, going back, this is how I use or like invented imagination technology, was kind of bridging that or completely, you know, providing a new operating system to be able to process the energy, the information more effectively, more like higher performance.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that do you need the fear and survival mode in order to upgrade to this? Or is this an evolution getting to this other place where that isn't what's propelling it, if that makes sense?
Exactly. The it's from fear to love on the broad stroke. The distinction I make, the line in the sand I draw, is it's actually going from the human species to the superhuman species. Mm-hmm. Because it's a total frequency shift from low frequency to high frequency, as in self-conscious to self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. But it's like when you think about Abraham Hicks and the emotional scale, are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So for anybody, any of the listeners who might know or not know, Abraham Hicks is a person you can look up on YouTube. It's a woman who is a collective, I don't know if you would say collective consciousness or spirit channels that come through her. And one of the things she talks about is this scale of emotion. And it goes with like fear and all those being at the lowest and love and joy being at the highest. But what she always says is that you can't go from fear to love. It's better to be depressed than it is to be fearful. And it's better to be numb than it is to be depressed. Or, you know, it's better to want revenge because at least you're feeling something than to be numb and then to kind of work itself up.
Yes, exactly.
So in what we're talking about, it's kind of like this, I mean, I don't know if I lost my train of thought in it, but it's kind of like, I guess it's not such a contrast. There's an in between. In those.
Yes. Yes. And in the, so I look at it in terms of evolution, soul evolution. It's healing freedom and mastery. Those are like, that's the kind of progression of evolution in that sense.
Yeah. That paints a really nice picture. Healing, freedom, mastery from the actual.
They're different conversations that take the journey of ascension, going to the upward spiral in its body, mind, spirit, or quantum sense.
Ooh, good stuff. Okay. I think we're ready for the third question.
Okay.
The third question is to wrap it up in thought, and it's stuff that we've gone over, but to wrap up is, so why is creativity important?
Oh, why is creativity important? Because it is the key or keys, it creates the keys to freedom. The awakening of the human spirit happens when creativity is playing, or playing is creativity. From that consciousness, it's everything is creativity to me. From that, like, it's just how we're playing with ourselves and with others. It's that's why it's so important.
Mm-hmm. It's like that core.
Right. Because, if I can like kind of bring up like the quantum, the multiverse, like infinite possibilities, creativity on an individuality level is how we're funneling that infinite to our body. Like that, in and of itself, the magnitude of that is just, it blows your mind, literally blows your mind, because like you can't, the intelligence, the it's massive.
It is. Yeah. As you were saying that, I was kind of getting a vision of, because there are infinite possibilities. And I think when people are very aware of this, and it can be very overwhelming, because they kind of see, it's like, I feel like there, again, the word contrast is like coming up a lot tonight.
Yeah.
But it's like that, you could see it in two different ways from a mindset point of view, to where there's so many possibilities that you get paralyzed. And it's like, oh God, okay, well, here's the perfectionism thing again. Well, there's so many things I could do and I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything.
Right. Oh, indecision.
Yes.
Indecision. Yes. Oh my God. Like that was one of the first, puzzles, for myself, because being so highly sensitive, conscious, self-conscious, and aware of so much data at once, because that's what sensitivity to me is like, you're just aware of so many different layers, and empathizing different emotions around you and taking things on, and like to try to make a choice, a decision, when all these variables are at play and you feel that constriction, it's like, when you learn to like actually express your voice, your creativity, you find out how complex it all is. When like so much at once, or the writer's block of nothing at all, and you're trying to like wield it, and you learn how like that for someone that was so logical, it was, you know, it's like a beast. And and then just throwing in the other end of the extreme is the stillness it takes. Mm-hmm. You know, the meditation to clear the mind so that you can access the purest creativity and passion. You know, that's an art. Oops.
Are you still there?
So, yeah, I was just saying that's an art in of itself. Yeah. And so, yes, yeah. I forgot my train of thought on that one too.
Yeah, it sounded like the phone dropped or something. That was like a phone drop. That was like mic drop kind of moment. But yeah, that is the art of the stillness, because mm-hmm. that, like we were saying about the indecision, and then there's other people that have the freedom in all these possibilities. It's like, mm-hmm. whew, there's so many positives. It's like, you can hear it in the different vibe, like, oh, there's so many different choices, or there's so many different choices.
Right. And, oh my gosh. Yes.
And how you kind of go with that. But then, yeah, the stillness and that art of that really being in the moment of mm-hmm. it and listening mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. all these things that we're talking about, like, listening to what's coming up to then be able to access it. I mean, these are just.
Yes. Yes. The listening. And I think it was the discernment between thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people might say, well, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. 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 Right. Exactly. Like that. But within, I guess, the mastery of it is the ease or the effortlessness of that flow.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking all the time, your battery is going to get drained if it's not, you know, being run. If the operating system isn't running most efficiently, like that's going to be the drains. That's going to be the
yep. And I know I can relate to that. Can you relate to that? That battery being drained at times, where it's like certain days it's like, whew, that was taxing, because that was just, especially with numbers. Like if you're asking me to, like with taxes and filling out FAFSA forms and all this kind of stuff, I fill that out and I have to take a nap. Like I'm just like, oh my God. I called up the woman and I said, I am having a panic attack. You need to walk me through this. mm-hmm. And she's like, it's our job. I'm here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. And that like kind of brings up just going back to the Conscious Leadership Network and my kind of inspiration, like for me, is what you're just saying is the line between work and play. You know, when that gets out of balance, you know, that's when things get, you know, not fun or, you know, not enjoyable, not exciting. And the inspiration for a Conscious Leadership Network was like, there is like that space in the middle where it's play and work together as one passion. And that's where I aim to play, because that's the, I mean, it's where life is alive.
Yes. Where life is alive, that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So As we're getting to the top of the hour, like I challenge people here and all that we've talked about, there was a lot of deep comments going on here. But yeah, I challenge you to like get into that stillness and listen, really listen to yourself, to kind of hear, because you don't have to, you don't always have to think so much about the how and the where. Like, you know what you're good at. You might not know on this level here, but your higher self knows what you're good at. So it's kind of like, and even if you have to like take the action to do things, find the stillness to then get the direction to your superpowers.
Yes. Yes. And allow, I would say, allow yourself to be open to the unimaginable as well.
Yes. Yes. Because that's where the gems are.
Yeah, precisely.
Because you're not thinking. Not overthinking. Well, Jeremy, so this has been so good. Please tell people how they can connect with you. And I'll put it in the bio of the podcast, but yes, if you tell them, and then I will put it in writing.
Yes. So I am on most like the top social media. I'm Jeremy A. Lastman. They can just find me on there, and then go to consciousleadership.life to check out the Conscious Leadership Network. And that's where I'm like most active.
That's me for now, correct?
What? Right now we are in the early access, and that's probably gonna end pretty soon. I think we had said the end of the year, but we haven't made the actual executed the shift yet. But free, very, very temporarily. I take that back. It's always going to be free, but there's going to be different tiers, of course. But yeah, that's where they can like really interact with me and where I contribute. And then on most of Twitters and Instagrams and all that.
Sure, on all that. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I am so grateful that you took this hour to be with us, Jeremy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The questions, like, I don't know if people are familiar with human design, but I'm designed to respond, and these questions are just like right up my alley. And I just love to share on these type of conversations.
Yeah, it was great. It got to a much deeper level, which I really appreciated. So yeah, it was really, really good. And I'm so grateful to the listeners, whether you're live or taking the time to listen in to the replay. I just really appreciate your time. I know time is precious, like I said in the beginning, and appreciate you doing it. This is all about sharing stories, connecting, and inspiring each other. So that's what we're here to do. So please like, follow, share. And the next conversation is going to be on Sunday. And I'm talking to a holistic vet. And yeah, I just love talking to all you amazing people. It's incredible. So again, Jeremy, thank you so much. And listeners, and happy Friday. Have a great rest of the day, evening, wherever you are in the world.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.